Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis, chapter 6. We'll read verses 7 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Genesis 6, verses 7 through 13, and again we'll read this passage responsively. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and perfect. A just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being our God, and thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Father, please, there's no way that one human could meet the needs of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. But you could work through our man of God with your word. Father, please do it so that we could go out and reach more folks for you, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to tell you the title of my sermon first. It is a sermon that will be somewhat informational. I hope that you'll allow it to affect you. You will recognize much truth in what I say. I call the sermon The Sin of Violence. The Sin of Violence. I just knew without any doubt that if I went to the local newspaper and bought the day's edition, that I would find violent acts in it. I decided I didn't want to watch throughout the week to see if I could find a newspaper article or an illustration to help me this morning. I had forced myself to buy today's newspaper. I was just so sure that I would find violence in it. And of course, it's there. You say, well, why were you so sure? Because every day I pick up the newspaper and I see how violently the human race treats one another. I'll read to you. The Associated Press released this. It's in our local newspaper. It's about a state senator and his wife that was attacked in Niagara Falls. It says a New York state senator and his wife say that they were attacked and beaten on Friday in Niagara Falls after the lawmaker tried to break up an argument between two businessmen. The senator suffered bruises and bruised ribs in an altercation. His wife was more seriously hurt. She was diagnosed Saturday morning with a concussion and possible broken nose. This man was the chief of staff. He says that the fight happened in Niagara at a hotel around 11 p.m. He said the lawmaker and his wife were attacked by a group of men and women after the lawmaker tried to stop an argument between two businessmen. How in the world the wife ended up with a broken nose is beyond me. What in the world men would be doing, possibly hitting a woman in a setting like that, makes no sense whatsoever. In Genesis, we read earlier a story that is found at the beginning of man being placed here on the earth. The Bible tells us that God was very grieved at man's behavior. Noah was the man of God of that day. And Noah, the Bible says, walked with God. But the culture of Noah's day was a culture that disappointed God terribly, the behavior of the people. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, it says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Filled with violence. It does not mean there was a touch of violence here and there. It was filled with violence. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, you boys back here that are looking down, look up. That'll keep me from thinking that you're playing with your cell phones. And even though you might not be texting someone, you could be playing with your video game while I'm trying to have church. You look up here. In Genesis 6:13 it said, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Here again it uses the terms filled with violence. This flood that came that is historic and we all know about it. That great flood involving Noah's ark. Do you realize that one of the reasons the flood came is because of the violent behavior of mankind at that time? The Bible tells us in verse number 5 of Genesis 6 that God refers to the people in behaving in an evil way. You say, what does that mean? People had become people herders. People had become people herders. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:17, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." What's it talking about? There are times when people become so mean, they become so violent. It talks about drinking the wine of violence. They're virtually drunk on violence. They're getting a high off of being mean. They're getting a high off of being violent. There's an adrenaline rush about hurting people. According to Genesis 6:6, the Bible says this behavior of man grieved the heart of God. The great heart of God is grieved because man had become so mean and so violent. In Noah's day, the Bible says the violence was everywhere because it said the earth was filled with this violence. And I believe God's heart must be grieved today when God looks at the violence even of America. And again, I think if you look around our world, the earth is again filled with violence. With violence. I'm going to talk to us about that very issue today. Some of you will like what I say, some of you will not. But I have to tell you the truth, whether it's palatable for you or not. And I call the sermon, "The Sin of Violence." Let me say, number one, the television is full of violence today. Full of violence. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." It's talking about the rage of a fool and how confident people can become about this thing of rage. Some of you parents make the terrible mistake of taking the precious, tender mind of your child and let the television become a babysitter as all that violence becomes the mental attender to your child while you're busy doing whatever else you do. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children between the ages of 2 and 18 average spending 3 hours a day watching the television. The AAP reported that children's programming has the most violence of all TV programming. Children's programming has more violence than adult programming. Even cartoons, they say, average 20 acts of violence per hour. And so you know, the children's programming of today is not like the children's programming of years ago. You know, years ago, Bugs Bunny may hit somebody in the face with a pie, and that was the kind of violence. Today, it's just out of control. By the age of 18, our youth will have seen 16,000 simulated murders from the television. A total of 200,000 violent acts by the time our young people reach the age of 18. Media violence is out of control. And you say, but why, preacher? I'll tell you why. It sells. It sells. We live in a nation where violence is an important part of the media economy. You know why there is so much impropriety between the sexes? Because sex sells on television. And all they want to do is make money. It does not matter to them that your children's morality is being jeopardized. They want to make money. And if you tune into it, the station says they're turning into it. We therefore have income as a result of it, so we're going to air it. The same thing is true about violence. The American Academy of Pediatrics said that 61% of programming portrayed personal violence and glamorizes it to the child. Don't let that word glamorize fool you. It's talking about it makes violence attractive to a child. Again, the American Academy of Pediatrics said it lists the following effects that all the violence on television has on our children, has on teenagers, and has on adults. Listen to the list of effects. Depression. Some of you that are depressed all the time, you say it's a chemical in my body. It might be put in the it might be the trash you're putting in your brain. You sit around and watch violence all the time on television. The human race was not created for that. It was created to glorify God. Yes. It's just like misusing your automobile. You just go ahead and take your car and run it into the river and see how long it runs. It wasn't created to run your automobile into the river. And some of you are cramming in your mind, you're using your mind for something for which it was not created. Depression. It's sad to me. We have depressed teenagers and children today. Generations going by, that was almost unheard of. The desensitizing is a part of what they said is going to be an effect in regard to television violence. You say, what do you mean by desensitizing? In other words, they're just so used to the violence. And hey, if violence happens now on the playground at school, what does it bother them? They set it up for 2 hours last night and watched violence on TV. They can drive right by someone being violently abused and it doesn't even bother them. They don't stop to help. They're not concerned. Why? Well, they're numb to it. It's the norm. Folks, violence is not to be the norm in our country. And violence is not to be the norm in our city. And violence is not to be the norm in our community. You say, well, that's just the way it is. Yeah, but it's not supposed to be that way. What are the effects of all this violence on television? The agitation of the personality. People that could have good personalities have bad personalities because they're spending time watching violence all the time. The development of aggression toward the human race. And so you know, these are not my statistics. They come from the American Academy of Pediatrics. They said also rebellion against authority. You say, why? Because that's some of the violence that is advertised on the television, rebelling against authority. You just watch criminal shows all day long, people rebelling against police officers. Then that's going to possibly become a part of your makeup and your behavior. Often, hideous acts of violence against people are committed in the community after someone is reenacting what they watched on television. Today in America, violence is one of our main entertainments. It sells. We should not be desensitized. I'm saddened at what television programs you to think. You can watch some vampire show and this supposed vampire ends up with the blood of somebody on his lips and he licks it in a sensuous way. And somehow we get the idea that having somebody else's blood on your body is sensual. And you know what I'm talking about. It's filthy. And it'll cause violence in our country to multiply. And I take you back to the book of Genesis, and if you will remember correctly, God looked down and seen the violent nature of the people that He had put on this earth, and He brought a flood and He destroyed them all except for 8 people. And one of the reasons why is because people had become so violent. They become so violent. They were endangering themselves and everybody around them. So there's so much violence on television. There's violence in our music today. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Violence, the mouth of the wicked. Our music is full of violence today. The average teenager listens to about 2.5 hours of music a day, we're told. 1 in 3 of the most popular songs contain explicit references to drugs, alcohol, immorality, and violence. Now, the music that we distribute to our young people around here is decent gospel music. It would not fall in the same category, but the other music does. They say that because one in three of the most popular songs do contain explicit references to drugs, alcohol, immorality, and violence, they receive in this listening 35 references to substance abuse on the average every hour. And just so you're reminded, the drug and the alcohol culture is a violent culture. Music develops one's behavior. Music promotes wrong behavior or right behavior, depending on what music you're listening to. The average music listener hears 84 references to destructive behavior per day, 591 references per week, and in a year, the average music listener listening to the music in the world, they hear 30,732 references per year of destructive behavior. I pulled from a secular statistic source the following. These are ratings of destructive influence in music. 20% of R&B and hip-hop contain destructive lyrics. Get this. 36% of country songs contain destructive influence. 77% of rap songs contain destructive doctrine or influence. And just so you know, the top two of destructive behavior were rap and country. Music will affect your behavior. Lyrics will affect your behavior. Words will affect your behavior. But did you know even the beat and the rhythm can affect your behavior? Check and see what type of music most violent criminals listen to. You check and see what type of music it is that the violent criminals that are arrested listen to. They're not listening to Love Lifted Me. They're not listening to Amazing Grace. You just check and see what kind of music the child molester's been listening to. You just check and see. You check and see what kind of music a wife beater is listening to. It is not passive, kind music that exalts the love of God. Let the proof be in the pudding. You check and see that young person in the school system that is violent in nature. You check and find out what kind of music they're listening to. And some of you, just so you know, as you sneak and listen to the wrong kind of music, that is what you're becoming. You will become like that which you read and that which you listen to. It's time for humor. You'll like this. A cheerful truck driver pulled up at a roadside cafe in the middle of the night for a dinner stop. Halfway through his meal, three wild-looking motorcyclists roared up. Heavily bearded, dirty, filthy, leather jackets and chains were these motorcyclists. For no reason at all, they selected this humble truck driver as their target. One poured pepper over his head. Another stole his apple pie. The third deliberately tipped the trucker's coffee over. The truck driver never said one word, just stood up, paid his check, and he left. That truck driver sure ain't much of a fighter, sneered one of the bikers. The girl behind the counter peered out into the night, added, he doesn't seem to be much of a truck driver either. He just ran over all three of your motorcycles. In the day of Noah, people have become so abusive toward people that God looked down and he said, I've created man and man's behavior disgusts me. Man was created to be good to man and man was created to be good to God. And here man has allowed his flesh to get out of control and his anger to get out of control. And now man is violent to the point that God brought the whole mess to an end. He said, that's it. I've had it. And the flood comes. The violence today on the television set, the violence today of our music, the violence today, thoroughly, with the video games and the computer games. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 7 says, he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Proverbs 28:24 mentions the companion of a destroyer. It may be that your joystick or your computer control makes you the companion of a destroyer. 85% of video games contain violence. 50% contain extremely serious violent actions. And I realize I'll be like a voice crying in the wilderness, because I won't make much impact on most people in this room. But if I can salvage one family, I'd like to do it. There are things that are played on a routine basis by good kids today that would have been outlawed in America 100 years ago. Not even the lost kids would have been allowed to get involved in it. They say gamers average 8 hours per week playing their games. Violence in video games creates an aggressive nature in its participants. Violence in video games desensitizes people, and it desensitizes them personally toward the violence of our day. Desensitizes them enough that no matter what I say about it here in a moment, there won't be changes in masses of families because of it. So, no big deal. No big deal. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. You show me in the Bible where if everybody's doing it, it makes it right. If everybody starts teaching the doctrine of works, salvation, are we going to do it? Everybody's doing it. My Christian friends are doing it. You show me in the Bible where your Christian friends set the standard of right and wrong. God does. The Bible does. Violence in video games. The guns, the axes, the chainsaws, the bombs, the knives. They have become the norm. Folks, it's not Pac-Man anymore. I was watching the news this morning, Fox News, show a man in England. He was smoking in a non-smoking area of a club. He got mad. They kicked him out. He came back in with a chainsaw, chasing everyone. Wonder where he learned that. Sunday school? One of two places. Either on television or from a video game that's at your house right now. Hey, do you hit your wife? Are you an addicted gamer and you think it's all right? Does your teenager have temper problems? Now, everybody's going to have some struggles with it, but I'm going to tell you this. There are some that have an abundant struggle. Why? Well, you're not going to play, throw a fit, and throw temper tantrums all day long and then not do it in real life. Does your grade schooler have violence issues? What video games do you let them play? The Columbine High School massacre in Littleton, Colorado was directly related to teen boys and their acting out the computer games that they had at home. And so, the sermon is about violence in our society. Violence on the television, violence in our music, violence in the computer games, violence. And may I remind us and tell all of you, you might want to be careful, the new fad is the internet and the social networking. I want everyone to be aware of the fact, and if you've ever heard me preach on this, I think the internet can be a wonderful tool. I think there are positives in regard to the internet, but I'm going to tell you, you need to know the negatives as well. Luke chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Here's talking about you. There should not be violence between you and I as Christians and the human race. You know that more than 5 million online U.S. households experience some type of abuse from Facebook in a year? 5 million in America from Facebook. That's not including the other social network thingies. You say, "Well, preacher, you're just not up to date." I don't have to be up to date to tell you the difference between right and wrong. I don't have to know the lyrics of your most modern country song to still know the difference between right and wrong. You may think I'm outdated, but if I am, you'll have to count me with Jesus and with God and the Bible, because there are those that think all those things are outdated as well. Right. Facebook does include violence. The viruses, the infections that can be passed through the internet, the identity theft that comes because people get on Facebook and reveal information that should not be revealed. For 1 million children last year, they faced bullying through Facebook. Now, some of you say, "Boy, my child was bullied in the Christian school." Well, your child was bullying on the internet. Cyberbullying is at epidemic stage. Facebook has produced an outrageous number of burglaries. Why? People get on there and they tell everybody when they're going to be gone, when they're home, when dad's at work, when mom's at work, where we live. Here, let us give you a picture of our house. Somebody gets a hold of it, they know when to go burglarize your house. Facebook has produced stalking situations by the thousands. Slap a picture of yourself up there, ladies. Show them your stuff. But don't be shocked when you have some stranger following you through the parking lot of Walmart at midnight. Facebook has produced its sexual assaults. And I told you this earlier, back in December, I preached a sermon about propriety with social networking. And lest you get the idea, Brother Owens is against it all, you get the sermon that I preached, and I'm not. I'm against the inappropriate use of anything. But I told you this back in December. Fox News said that 60% of all divorces taking place in America today are directly related to Facebook. There are people in this building today, you are betraying your mate because of Facebook. And that's sin. And God will judge you. And so, you know, I won't be glad. I won't be glad that you got judged. I'd rather you be obedient to God and get right with Him about it. One out of three young people on the internet have received cyber threats. Sexual predators use the internet as a primary tool for their sin. And texting and email makes it so that the writer can be rude, hateful, and evil without facing their target eyeball to eyeball. I'll say again. You ought not be saying anything through texting or emailing if you do not have the courage to sit down with someone face to face and talk to them that way. Nobody here has ever gotten a nasty text, email, or letter from me. If I have something that I feel has a touch of harshness to it, I want to have the backbone, the guts, and the determination to talk to you in person about it. I'm not afraid to talk to someone nose to nose. And I'm not trying to be rude. I think that's a propriety. Quit hiding behind a screen. You're really tough when you don't have to face someone, aren't you? That's the violence of our day. It's the way of our day. And so, the sermon this morning is informational. The violence on television is out of hand. The violence in our music is out of hand. The violence in the computer games, video games, is out of hand. It's just out of hand. The violence on the internet and the social networking can get very, very nasty. In the book of Genesis, as we were reading earlier, it is mentioned about the violence, and God refers to the word evil. There is violence because of man becoming evil in his behavior. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Genesis 6, 5, the Bible says, "In the days of Noah, the people were evil continually." People that were evil continually are the ones that were guilty of the violence that was going on. You heard me say this, and I'll briefly say it again. There's a difference in sin and evil. Sin is what we do that hurts us. Evil is what we do that hurts others. And actually, evil in its maturest state is when we gather others together and we plot together or we unify in a group to go hurt someone. Meaning any portion of social networking where a group of people are getting together and they're combining their efforts to hurt someone, that's evil. That includes spreading rumors about people. That's evil. Character assassination of people. Gossip. Your mental plots to hurt others. That's evil. And Genesis 6:5 said they were evil continuously, and God wiped out the entire human race, sparing only, what, 8 people? Because of what? Because they were evil continually. Did you know that to be evil is violent? To be evil is violent. You say, "No, preacher, violence is when you take a baseball bat and hit somebody in the head." No, violence is when you hurt people. That's why God tells us to love our enemy. And if some of you don't learn to love your enemy, you're going to become evil toward them. So there's the violence of evil that's taught here in the book of Genesis. There's violence in our music and violence in our games and violence on the television and violence with the communication of the social networking. And there's violence in our homes. It ought not be, but there is. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 24, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." Amen. So let me give you a warning. Those of you that, let's take for instance, you're 19, 20, 21 years of age, you're out of high school, and you have a relationship going, very possibly a relationship that will lead, you think, to marriage. Could I recommend something to you? If the man or the woman that you're considering married are out of control in regard to their rage, their temper, or their anger, the Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go." You ought not be going steady with a man that can't control his temper. You say, why? He'll beat you. And it used to be that you would have to warn the women of the men that would beat them. I must warn the men of the women that will beat them today. Because the rage of women has grown to an epidemic stage. Proverbs 21:19 said, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman." That's why men go hunting. That's a Bible. Some of you hen-pecked sissy britches, say amen every once in a while. You're safe here in the auditorium. $15.5 million children in the United States lived in families in which partner violence occurred last year alone. When we talk about partner violence, we're talking about husbands and wives. Throwing things at each other, hitting each other. Violently degrading one another with their words and actions. Get this, in one day last year, 13,485 children were living in domestic violence shelters where there was so much rudeness and violence between the husband and wife, someone had to leave and go find another place to take the children to live, at least for the day, until their mate cooled off. Worldwide, the UN Secretary General's study on violence tells 275 million children were exposed to violence in their home last year. Every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is assaulted. Folks, home is to be a haven, not a hell. Home's to be a place of peace, not war. In the United States, every day at least 3 women are murdered by their husbands. I always get passionately involved when I get to this point in any sermon. You're not a real man if you're hitting on your woman. You're just not. You got to hit something. Hit yourself. But don't hit on a woman. And I am for children being properly disciplined. But I am not for children being abused. And if you are a man or a woman of rage when it comes time to correct your children, maybe you need to go to your room, sir, or you need to go to your room, ma'am, and calm yourself down before you correct your children. Domestic violence victims lose nearly 8 million days of work per year because of fighting in the home. They don't go into work. That is equivalent to 32,000 full-time jobs. If we could just get husbands and wives and families to calm down and do right, it would be 32,000 jobs stronger in America. You brothers and sisters, listen to me. Brothers and sisters should not be beating each other up. You're supposed to be good to each other. You're supposed to love each other. You're supposed to be kind to each other. There are times in a home a brother or sister can become in a rage and violent toward one another. And that ought not be. Let me say, there is violence in our television programming, violence in our music, and violence in the computer games, and violence on the social networking, and violence, the evil behavior of man, and violence in our homes. There's violence in our schools. Joel chapter 3 verse 19, it speaks of the violence against the children of the people of Judah. The children. And again, lest you get mad at me, the U.S. Department of Education, National Center for Educational Statistics say, in 2010, in the public schools, students were threatened with physical attack 405,900 times. Threatened with physical attack, 405,900 times 1 year. In 2010, there were 14,340 robberies. In 2010, physical attacks in the school, 19,180. Vandalism in the school, 171,500 acts of vandalism. Gang-related crimes, 30,860. Possession of weapons or explosive devices. Last year. No, 2010. In 2010, 15,960 times. As we all know, in years recent, metal detectors have been put into our schools. Schools now are forced to have security guards. There are more threats toward teachers than ever before. You say, by who? Parents? Students, I'll tell you something. Being a teacher in this day and age is a very difficult job. Very difficult. You go to any school, you'll be taught that you better take seriously threats against another student. You teach anywhere, they're going to tell you if there is a threat towards you from a parent, you've got to report it. Why? Somebody's liable to blow you away. Wake up, America! Shouldn't our children go to school and be safe? You say, what's causing it? I just gave you a bunch of the reasons why. It's the music, it's the television, it's the video games, it's the social networking. Our children are in jeopardy. But it sells. It sells. It's sad, but even in Christianity, there is violence among the brethren. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 9, it says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." Destroyeth his neighbor? You say, who's your neighbor? Well, we're neighbors. Christians are to love one another. It might be that you grew up and you were told, well, if you have a difference with somebody, you go behind a barn and you fight it out. That is not what Jesus teaches. Christians are to seek a peaceful resolution to their difference between each other. That is very clear in the Bible. Christians are not to be evil toward one another. Christians are not to bully one another. Christians are not to misuse the internet against one another. Christians are to love, not hate. The church is not a boxing ring. It's not supposed to be a boxing ring. Now, just so you understand, if you're here and you say, well, you sound like a pacifist. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. I think the Bible says be slow to anger. It doesn't say don't have anger. It says be slow to anger. I believe in fighting for the freedom of our country, and I believe there may come a time when a man stands up and he defends his wife, and there is a time for defense. I believe that. There is a time when somebody might have to put their dukes up and fight. But the problem is not that in America. The problem is uncontrolled rage, and the problem is all the violence and the slaughter. That's no wonder in America we're murdering babies by the millions in abortion. It's no wonder. It doesn't bother us to have bloody hands. We watch all the vampire shows with bloody lips. I'm not bothered by the violence anymore. In fact, there'll be people in here that'll listen to this sermon today, and you'll walk away and say, good night. He is just so far out of touch. No, you're the one that's out of touch.
Right.
Violence. How about the hate crimes? Thousands of hate crimes committed every year. Well, why not? People don't go to church anymore where you're taught to love. Even the lost used to be able to quote John 3:16. Not anymore. Psalm chapter 2 verse 1 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They rage. There's rage in our society and rage in our schools and rage in our homes and rage in our communities. Hate crimes or hate violence is a result of bias. Attacks on people because they are not like you. That's wrong. That's wrong. The hate crimes that are racial. That's wrong. I will disagree with lots of religions, but I don't go beat up people that disagree with me doctrinally. Hate crimes that are of an ethnic result. Hate crimes because someone is disabled. Hate crimes because maybe mental disability. Hate crimes include things like vandalism to businesses and to homes. Folks, if someone is different than you, you don't have to go where they are. You don't have to participate in what they participate in. But you're not supposed to go burn down their business. Hate crimes and the attacks include vandalism to businesses and vandalism to homes and robbery. Not because somebody wanted money, because they wanted to take something away from someone that's not like them. Arson. Vehicle theft. Assault. Murder. Rape. Home destruction. Intimidation. The Uniform Crime Reporting Program tells us that the highest level of hate crimes is racial. Hating someone because their skin is a different color than yours. That's childish and it's ungodly. It's childish and ungodly. What color someone's skin does has nothing to do with we are to treat people right. That's just it, bottom line.
Yes, sir.
You should never tease or hurt someone with a disability.
Yes, sir.
You know, we have a special needs ministry here at our church. Those of you that ride the buses in, there'll be special needs children and special needs teenagers and special needs adults that will come in on those buses. You best not ever be guilty of being unkind to those people. Let me make it very clear to everybody in this auditorium. Your pastor will stand, and he will stand strong to protect those special needs people. So, Thomas Combs, where are you? Come here, buddy. Can you come up here for a second? Is that okay? Thomas is a part of our special needs ministry. Don't hurt yourself, partner. Come here and stand by me for a second. Thomas is my buddy. You okay? You chewing gum? Okay. Thomas waits for me every week in between Sunday school and church. He stands outside my door, and he sometimes walks me back to get ready to get on the platform. He stands at my door, and if you've ever walked by him, he'll say, "I'm waiting for the man of God. I'm waiting for the man of God. There's my man of God. He's my man of God. That's a man of God. I love the man of God." I hear him out there talking. Sometimes I don't even come out for a while just so I can hear him. I'm going to tell you all something. If you're a business owner in this church, I love you. I don't love you any more than I love him. And he is just as welcome here as you are. You say, "Well, I don't see it that way." Then you need to get some new glasses. You say, "I'll leave the church. If I have to choose between you having your nose in the air and me having him, I'll keep him." I love you, buddy.
I love you.
But you be careful. You can go back and sit down. Thanks. Just don't fall. Amen. Listen. This business of hating people because they're not like you. That's not right. That's not right. Christians are to be above that. Christians are to be above that. No matter, we sing the song red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight, but some of you don't believe that. Whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, you are invited to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and you will be treated with dignity by anybody that has any common sense. Your pastor will stand up for you. You're important to us. Doesn't matter how young or how old, how much money someone makes. I think everybody here knows. Whether you make a bunch of money or you're poorer than Job's turkey, your pastor wants you in this church. You're an important part of this church. And some of you that have a little more that tend to want to mock or tease the ones that have a little less, God looks very dimly on your behavior. Oh, the violence. The violence. The violence on the television. The violence that's in our music. The violence that's in the computer games and the video games of the day. The violence on the internet and the social networking. And the violence of the evil nature of man. And the violence that goes on in our homes. And the violence in our schools. And the violence among brethren. And the violence with the hate crimes. You say, "Well, preacher, we're not going to change this world." Well, we can change you. And if we did change this world, we'd do it one person at a time. Did you know that we are to do what we're supposed to do, whether we're going to change the world or not? You say, "Well, never get this world turned around." We can get us turned around. We'll influence what we can influence. Let me tell you, if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to recommend something to you. If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, let me tell you that Jesus loves you and God loves you. And let me say to you that if you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you ought to get saved today. You ought to get saved. You ought to get born again. You ought to take care of that once and for all and make sure you're on your way to heaven. I realize today's sermon, I don't know how practical it was. Maybe more informative. Unless you're guilty, then it's very practical. Let's be good to people. Isn't that the trademark of a Christian? Be good to people. And I'm not talking about you men becoming sissy twerps. Boy, I'm about sick of that in life too. You know, there's a way for a man to be strong and tough and be a man's man, but still be tender and kind at the right time. If you're not saved, I hope you'll get saved today. If you are saved, I hope you'll be careful with this issue of violence. The violence of our culture. It was so bad in the day of Noah that God said, I've had it with it. God may have to apologize to those that were alive in the day of Noah if God does not discipline America. Because we too have become a culture that is filled with violence. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question will be, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you're not saved today, I want you to get saved. Let me say God loves you. Let me say that this preacher loves you and this church loves you. Now, if you're not saved, you need to get born again. So answer this question. If you died this very day, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I'm not sure, I'm not. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. In the balcony on the lower floor, you say, I'm not saved. God bless you. I see that hand. You say, I'm not saved. If you're not saved, I want you to get born again. God bless you, ma'am. I see that hand. Someone else. Here's what's going to happen. Those of you that just raised your hands, and those of you that should have, but you did not, here's what I want you to do in a minute. We're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a moment, we're all going to stand. In a moment, the instrumentalists will play. The choir will sing. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform behind me will step down, post themselves on the lower level down front at the end of each aisle. And in a moment, I'm going to say, if you're not saved and you need to be saved, leave your seat. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to leave your seat, walk toward the front, walk up to one of the assistant pastors and say, I want to be born again. I need to be saved. We have trained people that are ready to show you how you can leave this place on your way to heaven. You too can trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Those of you that raised your hand in the balcony and the lower floor, and those of you that wished you would have that didn't, when we start this thing called the invitation, you just leave your seat immediately and come toward the front. You won't be the only one coming. I promise you that. You come. Walk up to the men. Soul winners, you be ready. Then there are some of you that you are so desensitized, I've made you mad. Instead of you being challenged by the Holy Spirit to clean up some of this violent nature of our entertainment and our desire for it. Maybe you need to come to this altar because you're mad. Maybe some parents here, and honestly, some of you parents better wake up. You better wake up to what you're pumping into your children. You wonder why your children or your teenagers are abusive towards your wife and abusive toward each other. It's because of the way they're being trained with their television, with their video games, with the social networking. You might want to be careful. There's somebody here, you're mean to your spouse. You need to come down here and get on your face and get it right. Oh, the violence. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. The men have posted themselves down front. You may need to come. You walk up. If you're not saved, you walk up to the man and you say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There are wives that are violent toward husbands and husbands toward wives. There are parents that maybe you are going to discipline, but you get out of control and you mishandle yourself. That's wrong. That's wrong. There are brothers and sisters that are hurtful toward one another. And though we don't have this in our church, God forbid that we ever do, it ought not ever be that some brother in the church is violent toward another. Hatefulness and the evil of our day. If you're not saved, come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. It's the week end of Valentine's Day. It's a time of love. Some of you need to reconsider what that's really all about. The rage, the anger, the hatefulness. The spite, the revenge. I love the power, man, Somebody needs to come and rededicate your life to Christ. Remember, your home is to be a haven. It is to be a peaceful place. It's not to be a hell on earth. If you're not saved, you come. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. We'll tell the people you got saved. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, you come. If you have been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation, you're looking to become a part of our church membership, you come. The local newspaper, I would have no problem finding an illustration that was current and fresh, because every day I looked at the local newspaper and there's violence. And again, I'm not a pacifist. I believe we ought to defend our country. I believe we ought to defend our families. I believe that with my whole heart. The Bible says we're to stand and fight for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's not the type of violence I'm talking about. I'm talking about the impropriety. I'm talking about that is outside the confines of the Scripture. I'm talking about that is abusive and mean and hateful. That is out of control. That is in the flesh rather than being in the Spirit. If you're not saved, you come. You be thorough. Take your time. Do it right. Name takers. Write so I can read it, but be quick. Are you a bully? Why didn't you come? You want to hurt your enemy? Wasn't my idea, it was Jesus's. He said, love your enemy. Choir, one more time through the song for me, please. One more time. You may still come. Do you tease somebody and hurt them because their skin is a different color than yours? Do you tease someone that maybe has less money than you? Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there.